Now we're holding on the last line of Ein Sein on with Beis. We learned yesterday at Breisa that talked about how we know that the Lachmei Torah consists of 10 Esronim for each of the major types. So 10 Esronim for the Chometz, and then 10 Esronim, of course, for three types of Matzah. So we went through how we know that, so we went through how we know that you need an Esorin per Chatzah. So one of the things that Breisa had mentioned was the question that how we know that it's one Esorin per Chala of the Chometz. So we said that we will learn it from the Shtei Alechem, but then we said the Shtei Alechem is only two Esronim, so maybe it should be two Esronim total. And in the end, the Gemara had said that we learn from the word Ti. The Braisa had said we learn from the word Tiyana. So now the Gemara takes that. Omamar, Tamud Lema Tiyana. So we said because it says Tiyana means therefore that it has to be 10 Esronim. My Tamud, how does the word Tiyana mean 10 Esronim? Omar, if you talk about it, give me Tiyana, because of the fact that it says the word Tiyana. Now, what does that mean? Rashi and Rashi Ksavya both explain that it means because there's an extra yud over there. The word is written tough, hey, yud, yud, nun, hey. It could have been written with only one yud, because the second yud is silent, in fact. And therefore, since we have an extra yud over there, then we can learn 10 chalas. That's how Rashi and Rashi Ksavyad explain. Tosfos brings a number of other explanations and a number of different gusois. First of all, there are gusois that the Gemara is saying not only that there are ten, not only that there's a new sodan for the loaf, but also that the total is there have to be ten of some kind of unit. Which next the Gemara is going to ask that maybe it's a smaller unit. So you have different gusois over here. The gusa that we have is just Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdini says just Tiyana and nothing else, as opposed to the other gusois where Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdini had said that when it says that Tiyana means explicitly. So the Dibra Kosov, the Torah is telling us that there are to be ten Esroinim. As far as Rashi's explanation, Tosfos wonders that the yud is not extra. That's the style. That's the dicta of Lashon Kodesh, is that you need two yuds in a place like that. So the Rambam Mefarshim will explain that really the whole word Tiyana is extra, and therefore the Gemara can darshan. Okay. In any case, the point is that we're darshaning that it means that there should be ten Esronim. But the question is, how do you know, fine, 10 of something, but how do you know 10 Esronim specifically? Maybe you should say the amount of bread is 10 kapiz. Regular Rashi translates over here kapizi as half kavin. So here we're talking about Yavani Sorin per sa, where, as we talked about yesterday, an Isorin is larger than a calf. Isorin was originally in Midas Midvarius, as we talked about yesterday, and Isorin was 1.8 calvin. Later on in Midas Yerushalmius, where the calf was made larger than it became 1.5 calvin. In any case, maybe it means then that each loaf is only half a calf, a kapiza. There are other places in Shas where Rashi explains that a kapiza is 3/4 of a calf. Whatever the case, maybe it's not the full amount that we're talking about, one Isorin per loaf. So Rava explains because the Pasuk is talking in terms of Esroinus. The Pasuk is talking about we are partially learning from the Shtei Alechem after all, and there the Torah spells out that it's Esroinim, that it's one Esorin per loaf. So the unit that we're talking about is in fact going to be Esroinim, and therefore if we're going to learn from Tiyana that it means that there's 10, then it means we're going to learn it's going to be 10 Esroinus. So, again, Rashi Ksavyad points out, like one of the Gersoris and Tosfos, that maybe the correct Gersoris that should be to begin with, that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdini is saying that it means to begin with 10 Esronus, and we don't even have Rava's question and the answer. Lamadnu Asara L'chometz. Now, the Braisa had continued that we learned that there were 10 Esronim and 10 loaves for the bread that's chometz that goes with the Torah. Asar l'matzah minayin. How do we know that there were 10 Esronim for the matzah altogether? Talmud Lema, al chalas lacham chometz. Therefore, the pasuk says on that the Torah is brought on, meaning together with chalos of chometz bread, k'neged chometz havi matzah, which we said meant that equal to the amount of chometz is the amount of matzah that you should bring. The problem with that is the Gemara says v'chidovra alamed behechish chozom alamed behechish. The question is, though, how can you have something which we learned by a hekesh, and then we're going to learn from it to something else with another hekesh, which we learned in the Zvachim, that you can't do that. Namely, here, how are we learning the flour, the amount of chometz bread for the Torah? We're learning from the Shei Halacha. And now you want it because we had the word, because we had the word, which was talking about the Shnei Lachem, they said the word Taviu comes to teach us also that when it comes something else that you bring, which is Chometz, namely the Chometz bread of the Torah, should also be the same amount. So that's your learning from a Hekesh, and now you want to learn from that to another with another Hekesh, Al Chalas Lechem Chometz, that together with and equal to the amount of Lechem Chometz should be the Matzah. So then it's not so, and you can't do that. You can't do a Hekesh from another Hekesh. The answer is it's not. The answer is we're not learning. It's not exclusively from a hekesh. We're also learning heimenu from it itself. Namely, the section of Lachmei Toda itself makes it clear that you have to have 10 chalas. Because like we learned yesterday, you have to take echa mimenu mitol korban truma lashem. And we said that to the that calling it truma implied that it had to be 1 out of 10. So the fact that you need 10 chalas of each type, we learn from that. Then we learn in a further detail, we learn that there has to be an isorin per chala of the chometz, and an isorin per type of, and isorin per 3 loaves of the matzah. Have a hekesh. When you're doing like that, when you're learning partially from it and partially from something else, then it's not considered a full hekesh. And therefore there's no problem doing that. Now he also Tosfos points out that the question is how exactly we were learning the 10 loaves. Were we learning from the yud of Tiyana, or were we learning it in one of the other ways that Tosfos had mentioned before? That will also affect the question of whether we're calling this Hemenu Vidavah. In any case, we learned also in Zvachim that we had different opinions over there that said when you learn something with Zeta Shava, you can then learn from it but a heck. Well, very well then. If we learn the fact that there are 10 chalas from Zeta Shava from Truma, we can then do a heckish from it. Now we had the Gemara had mentioned over there, the Mazudra is not so certain about that, but since there was also the point, though, well, there's another consideration as well. The beginning of this Zeva Shava is from Trumas Meiser, which is not hektish. You have to give it to the Kohen, but it's not hektish. And this rule of Lomid Min HaLomid applies only to Kodshim. So therefore, there's less of an issue with that. So the question is, the Gemara says, Hanichal Amanda Omer, Loi Have a Hekish. Okay, well, that works according to the opinion, which you have a machlokas about that in Zvachim. As well, whether when you're learning Hemenu V'Dava Acha, when you're learning partially from something that it says right there, and also partially from something else, is that considered a hekesh or not? If you say it's not a hekesh, then good, then you have the ability to do that over here, and it's not a hekesh on top of a hekesh. What about according to the opinion that such a thing is already itself considered a valid hekesh, and therefore, now how are you going to do a hekesh from another hekesh? And the answer is Taviu Ribuyahi. The answer is it's not a hekesh, the original thing. The fact that it says Taviu is a ribuy, because the whole word Taviu is extra in Mishra Seifan. Taviu, Lachem Tinufa. It didn't have to say the word Taviu at all. So it comes in and comes to include the Lachmei Toda. So it's not merely a hekesh. It's as if it actually explicitly said the Lachmei Toda right thing, and says that you have to have an isorin profile. So now, when you're learning from the Chometz to the Matzah, it's not a hekesh from another hekesh. Then we're fine. So what would be Rashi Ksaviyah? It's fine. What would be a full fledged hekesh if it didn't say Eser Chalas at all, and by Shtei Lachem it said 10 Esteronim, and we had to learn that it was 10 chalas from a hekesh, then that would be a full-fledged hekesh. But here we don't have that. Then Rashi brings another point as well. When it says Taviu, Ribuyahi implies bring a large amount. So here we were saying before, the Gemara had brought up the point. Maybe it means a kapiza, maybe it means a small amount, but no, since we're saying that Taviu Ribuyahi means it's a ribuy, bring a large amount, so therefore it means each chala should be a complete isarin. The Yud of Tiyana tells us 10 chalas, and therefore it's not, and therefore it's considered that it says explicitly by the Torah, so therefore it's not a hekesh, and then we can learn from the Chometz to the Matzah. Mishnah says, So far, we've been talking about so we've talked about the Torah, we've talked about the and we've talked about the various other we've talked about the Torah, what the size of each loaf is. Now, aside from the Torah, and you have two other cases where you have to bring chalas together with a korban. One of them is the korbanos of a nozir. He has to bring two types of matzah together with it. And the other one is by the korbanos amiluim that we had in last week's parasha, and in parashas Tetzaveh. Then you have also Hashem had said to bring along some kinds of matzahs. So let's talk about how those work. When it came to the korbanos amiluim, they brought an amount of matzah equal to the amount of matzah that was in the Torah. Namely, chalas, rikikin, ruvucha. So they had 10 chalas, 10 rikikin, and 10 ruvucha. We've talked before, is that chalas and rikikin, the only difference is whether oil is mixed in during the preparation of it or smeared on afterwards. Or is it that there's an actual difference in the size of it with chalas are thick and matzah and retikin are thin? In the case of ruvucha, we said means that the flour is put in boiling water, in boiling something, boiling water or boiling oil, according to the different possibilities. So they brought just that. They didn't bring the chalas. They didn't bring the chometz, like we do with the Torah, just the three types of matzah, as we'll see in the Gemara. Now, korban of a nazir is 2/3 of the matzah of the Torah. Namely, chalas and rikikin, namely, by the nazir, the Torah only says that he brings chalas and rikikin. There's no revucha when it comes to the korbanos of a nazir. Not only is it fewer types, but it's also therefore less flour. So instead of by the Torah, we said you have a total of 15 Yerushalmi kabim, which we worked out yesterday that 10 kabim originally would have been that 10 esroinim originally would have been in midis midbarius would have been 18 kabim. It's a pasuk that mentioned the word kab in that connection. It just mentions esroinim. Meanwhile, when they got the midis Yerushalmius, which are 20% larger, as we learned yesterday, then it comes out that one esroin is equal to 1.5 kabim. Now we said by the Torah, then altogether, we said you have 30 kavim of flour, 15 for the chometz, 15 for the matzah. Now that we're saying by the nozer, there's no chometz at all, and even if the matzah, there's only two of the three types. So nimtza, sora kavim Yerushalmius, so it comes out the total amount of flour that's used, the total amount of bread that's used for the nozer is 10 Yerushalmi kavim, change shisha esuronis v'oidoyin, which equals six esuronis plus. To be exact, it equals 6 2/3 esuronim. Because since in midis midbarius, one is sodden, so in midis midbarius, you have 10 esroinim altogether across the three types of matzah, and here you only have two types of matzah, so therefore it's 2/3 of that, which is 6 2/3. So once you translate that into Midas Yerushalmius, which was the system of measurement that they used in the time of the second Bais Hamikdash, then by that time they weren't using a sroinim on a day-to-day basis. So to translate it into the contemporary kavim, it equaled 10 kavim, as opposed to the Torah, we said it was 15 kavim for the matzah and 15 for the challah. So the Gemara says Minohani Mili. Where do we know that by the Miluim, it was exactly the same as the matzah by the Torah, but no chometz. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chama Vaguyu, the Amar Krav, because the pasuk says in last week's parasha, when we salam matzahs at Shalifnei Hashem, from the basket of matzahs that was before Hashem, loka chalas matzah achas, v'chalas lechem shemen achas v'rokit echad, he took one chalas matzah, one chalas lechem shemen, and one rokit. So let's define what each of those things are. Bishlema chalas, when the pasuk mentions, And the point is again that he took one out of each 10 and waved them, and then those were given to Moshe, because Moshe during the Shiva Siman Elohim was serving as the Kohen. So he took one chalas, actually I think the pasuk says that he took them and burnt them on the Mizbeach. Korbanos Miluim have different rules than usual. In any case, the point is that, again, he took one out of 10, so therefore we see that there were 10 of each of these three types. Now, let's define what each of the ones are in the pasuk. chalos. So some bishlan chalos chalos. So when the Torah says chalos matzahs, then it means what we know as chalos in later generations. It means again, it means either where oil is mixed in when into the dough while it's being made, or that it means that, or and it may also mean that they're thicker than normal, that they're thicker than they're kicking. So fine. So it means that. And rokik means rokik. And again, when it says rokik, means what we know as rakikin. Either it means that they're thinner, or it just means that oil is smeared on them rather than being mixed into them. But shemen ma'ininu, when the pasuk says chalas lechem shemen, which one does that mean of the ones that we're familiar with? Lav revucha. That must be the revucha, which had extra oil in it. Namely, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that you would start out with one, you would start out with a half a lug when you're making the matzahs for a toda, when you're making the three types of matzah for a toda, you would start out with a half a lug of oil, one quarter of that lug, so half of what you have would go for the revucha, and the rest, one quarter of a lug, would go for each of the other two types of chalas and rakikin. So it's called shemen because it has twice as much oil as the other ones. I mean, it's not very much oil considering you have a third of an isarin per loaf, but nevertheless, it still does have twice as much oil as the other ones. So that would be shemen. That would be chalas lechem shemen. So you see that they had all three types. But maskefa Reb Ivya, but Reb Ivya questions that ema anta de mishcha. Maybe it means, and maybe chalas lechem shemen is a different type that we don't find by other korbanos. Maybe it's something unique to the miluim. It's basically a large cake made with oil. So, or not even a cake of dough. Maybe it means, in other words, like you take oil and you take oil and you congeal it and make it into something like the shape of a you make something like the shape of a loaf of bread. Regular Rashi brings two possibilities. It can mean a thick piece of dough that was fried in oil, or it can mean, the second explanation is what we were just saying, that it means like congealed oil made in the shape of a loaf of bread. Rashi Ksaviyad gives only that explanation. So maybe it means that. Who says that means there's any flour and that's regular bread at all? So that doesn't work. So you're right. The Gemara says, "Ela kididorash of Nachman Barav Chista Meshmei Reb Tavla." Rather, we have to answer like the way Reb Nachman Barav Chista explained in Darshan in the name of Reb Tavla, that the pasuk says by the Chavite Kohen Gadol, Zeh Korban Aaron Ravonav Asher Akruva LaHashem. This is the Korban of Aaron and his sons that they should offer to Hashem B'Yom Himoshachoi. So on the day that Aaron is anointed, and as we learned previously, that means that the Kohen Gadol brings the Minchas Chavitin every day, and a regular Kohen brings it the first time that he does the Avodah. Now, V'chimalim Donu Akosev Levonav B'Yom Himoshachoi. Now, what is the pasuk telling us about Aaron's sons? On the day that the Kohen Gadol was anointed, what does one have to do with the other? In other words, if the pasuk is talking about the minchas chavitin, which is unique to the Kohen Gadol, then why are we even mentioning Aaron's sons at all? It applies to any Kohen Gadol that succeeds Aaron, but it doesn't apply to all of Aaron's sons, meaning all of the Kohenim at large. So what is the pasuk teaching us? Ela makish chinucha v'himoshchei. Therefore, by saying that, the Torah is making a hekesh between what's done when a regular Kohen is inaugurated, when he starts doing the Avodah, how it is with the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, which is Himoshchoi on the day, which is the Korban that he brings on the day that he was inaugurated as Kohen Gadol, and also every day after that. Because as we learned before, one reason for the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol is that every day it should be like he's starting the Avodah new and fresh. Anyway, so what do we learn from that? Mahi Moshchei Revucha, just like what's brought on Yom Himoshchei, what's brought by the Kohen Gadol as the Minchas Chavitin, is Revucha, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, and the pasuk actually says, Mubechas Tiviana. It has to be that the flour was boiled. Afchinuchei Revucha, the same way the Minchas Chinuch of an individual Kohen is also Revucha. Well then, the Miluim is the Chinuch of the Kohenim. Therefore, we can understand that there had to be Revucha there as well. And when the Pasuk says, Chalas Lechem Shemen, then it's another name for the Revucha. So, So since we're talking about that, the Gemara mentions, by the way, Omer of Chista, Kohen Gadol, I'm a Skar of La'avoda. Suppose you have a Kohen Gadol who's doing the Avoda for the first time. So normally, of course, a Kohen Gadol will have been doing the Avoda for years, and then eventually he succeeds as Kohen Gadol. But here, let's say the first time he's inaugurated as Kohen Gadol also happens to be the first time he's ever doing the Avoda. Sort of Shrei Asrein Asaifa. Well, he has to bring two Asreinim. Achasli Moshchoi, v'achasli Chinuchoi. One for the fact that he was anointed as Kohen, one for the fact that he's Kohen Gadol, and he has to bring his Minchas Chavitin every day, and one for the fact that he's beginning his avoda. And therefore he has to bring a Minchas Chinuch for it. So you'd have to bring both. Ma'abravashi, I'm a sholosh. Ma'abravashi says in that case you would actually have to bring three. And the Gemara says, well, clearly there's not actually an argument. For the avad avoda true kohen hadir. So we have like this in other words. There can be where the first time, what Rav Chista was saying was the case where he had done avoda previously as a Kohen Hedyot, but now when he's inaugurated as Kohen Gadol is also the first time that he's doing the avoda as a Kohen Gadol. Now it doesn't necessarily have to be together. You can have, for example, the person could be appointed Kohen Gadol, anointed the Shemen HaMishcha, or put on the Begodim after the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden away, but he doesn't necessarily right away do the avoda. So then the next morning he will bring, the Menchas Chavitin, and things will continue over the next afternoon, and things will continue from there. Now, Rav Chista was saying that if also on the day that he's inaugurated, he actually does the avoda, then he's going to have to bring two. One for the fact that he's now the Kohen Gadol, and one just for the fact that he's doing the avoda for the first time as a Kohen Gadol at all. Tosfos brings a possibility, Yesh Meforshim, that we're talking about over here, that specifically where he had to take over on Yom Kippur, and he's doing the avoda of Yom Kippur, which has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, but Tosfos points out that no, an individual's korban is not going to be brought on Yom Kippur. In fact, the Gemara and Yuma wonders, Taka, if the Kohen Gadol becomes possible and they have to have the substitute take over for him, what exactly makes him a Kohen Gadol? And the Gemara discusses over there basically the fact that he puts on the clothes of the Kohen Gadol and that he starts doing the Avodah. But you know, he's not going to be bringing the Minchas Chavitin at that point. He's not going to be bringing the Minchas Chinuch. He'll bring that after Yom Kippur. So Rav Chista is saying he has to do two. Ma'av Rav Ashi, I'm a sholosh, and Ma'av Rav Ashi is saying he brings three. The loy tligi, there's not actually an argument. Had the avod avoda true kohen hadyot, had the loy avod avoda true kohen hadyot. It depends. Did he ever do the avoda previously as a kohen hadyot? So then, if he did, then fine. He brought a minchas chinuch when he first served as a kohen in the Beis Mikdash. So now, when he becomes kohen gadol, there's going to be only two: one for the fact that he's now kohen gadol and brings a minchas chavitin every day, and one for the fact that he's doing the avoda for the first time as kohen gadol. But if he never did the avoda, even as a kohen hadyot, then he is in fact going to have to bring three of them: one for doing the avoda the first time as a kohen hadyot, one for doing the avoda the first time as the kohen gadol, and one for the minchas chavitin. So actually, this point that Tosfos mentions about the yesh meforshim about Yom Kippur, Rashi Xaviad brings it as well. In any case, both of them say that no, it doesn't really work because then he wouldn't be bringing the minchas chinuch that way. In any case, there are times when a Kohen Gadol, when he's inaugurated, might be bringing one, two, or three menachas. If it's just he's being inaugurated, but he's not doing the avoda right now, then he would be bringing one. If he's actually doing the avoda right now for the first time as Kohen Gadol, he'd bring two. And if he never even did the avoda as a Kohen Hedyot previously, then he brings three. Okay. In any case, that's where it's in any case. That was a side point. The point is, in other words, we learned when we said in the Mishnah that by the Milurim, they had the same three types of matzah as they had by a Torah. This is where we learned it from because the Pasuk mentions the three types. Two of them under the names we're familiar with. And one of them, of course, Chalas Lechem Shemen, which we said is the same as the Revocha. Now, the Mishnah had said, Mizirus, Hoysavach, Shtei Yodas Kamatzah Shabbat Torah. We said that when it comes to the Korban of a Nazir, it's only two-thirds of the Matzah in the Torah. Namely, we said there's only Chalas and Rikikim, there's no Rebucha, and the amount of flour is also only two-thirds. So the Gemara says, Tanarabon, we learn in Ebraisa, how do we know that? The Pasuk calls the Torah Shlomov. It's Shlomim. Now the actual pasuk finishes off that he has to bring the korban al zayis and bring the bread al zebach todas shlomov together with the korban of the todah of his shlomim. Now why does it have to say shlomov? L'rabbis shalmi nazir, that comes to include also the shlomim of the nazir. that we learned this actually a couple of blocks ago as well, that the Shulman of a Nozir also has the same rule, Laseres Kavim Yerushalmius, and it teaches us that you have to have 10 Yerushalmi Kavim, which is 6 2/3 Esroinim, like we said in the Mishnah, because again, by a Nozir, you only have two of the three types. Now, because you don't have Ruvucha, and we said before that the Ruvucha has more oil, has double as much oil as the other one, therefore, the Lurvius Shemen. Therefore, we also learn that the Chalas that the Nazir brings contain within them only a quarter of a log of oil. So in other words, again, the idea was that normally you would have one revius for the revucha and one revius that would be split between the chalas and the rikikin. Here, where you only have chalas and rikikin, then you start out only with one revius of oil and it gets divided among across the chalas and the rikikin. A revius, as we're familiar with from Kiddush, for example, is between 3 and 5 ounces, depending on the different poskim. So it comes out that you have something like, an ounce and a half to 2 ounces of oil across all the 10 chalas and similarly across all the 10 retikim. So it's not a lot, but there is oil in there. Okay. Now, the Braisa continues. Yochol l'chol ma sha'omer b'inyan. Now, you would think that maybe the Torah is telling us that everything that's by the Lachmei Torah is also by the Korbanos of the Nozer, and therefore we should have Ruvucha as well, even though it's not mentioned in the Pasuk by the Nozer. Tamud Lema matzis. Therefore, by the Nozer, it says matzis. Or the Nozer says by Tamuda. How are you learning from the word matzis that means no Ruvucha? Namely, the Torah is telling you to bring by the Nozer only the ones that are described as matzis in the Pasuk, because by the Torah, it describes chalas matzis, lulus bashemen, or kikin matzis meshuchen bashomen. Then it continues and mentions the murbeches, but it doesn't say the word matzis by them. Lapoki revucha delay nemen by matzis, so therefore it excludes the revucha, where it doesn't actually say the word matzis over there. So therefore, so the Torah is implying that you don't bring them together with the korbanos of a nazir. Okay, that's one way of learning. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana and the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned a different way of learning that by a nazir you don't bring ruvucha. Namely, you have the pasuk says that you have a basket of matzahs, and then it mentions the two types. So matzahs klal, the word matzahs is a general thing; it would include any of these three types. Chalas and rikikin prat, and when it says chalas and rikikin, then it's a prat, only those. And we don't have another klal afterwards. Klal of prat in the klal of a mashal of prat. When you have a klal of prat, then we know the rule is that you do only the prat. You don't include anything else. Now, of course, the Torah could have just said the prat and not said the klal at all, but then you would think to start, then you would think Tosfos brings from the Rashbam, but then you would start thinking that you should start including other things as well. If not for that, Yitaka would have thought that you bring from the Torah that you also bring Ruvucha by saying a klal and then a prat, and then we know klal a prat is only in the klal or a mashal of prat, and the Torah is blocking that and saying, no, do not learn that. Do not learn that detail from the Torah. So therefore, chalas and rikikin ain midiakrin aloy, so only chalas and rikikin are involved, nothing else. So that's another way of learning that by the nozer you have only those two types. Okay. Now that we dealt with the sizes and the number of the bread of the Torah, so now we're going to talk about, the dinim of the kedusha of the bread of the Torah, and how exactly it all fits together. So the Gemara says, "Hashoyfet as a Torah lefnim v'lach machutz lachoyma." If a person shechts a korban Torah inside the azara as he's supposed to, but the bread was located outside the wall. We'll see in the Gemara which wall. Loy kodesh alech, and then the bread does not become holy. And the result is, in other words, you haven't brought a proper Torah. A Torah, by definition, is supposed to come with 40 loaves of bread, and here you don't have it, so therefore you're going to have to start over with a new Torah. Next, continues the Mishnah. Shachta adshle komu paner batanur. Another din also, if you shechted the Torah before the lachmei Torah had formed a crust in the oven. So when they were, in general, in halacha, once bread has formed a crust, Then it's considered. Then it's already considered bread for various purposes in halacha. This is as far as the dinim of matzah as well. In principle, if you don't bake matzah all the way through, just bake it to the point where it's kol panel, then in principle it is kosher matzah, and you could eat it for Pesach. You just have to be very careful, of course, that it doesn't become chametz. So if you did that before, so if you shefted the Torah before they became bread while they're still dough, or even if all of them except for one of them are in the plus, like Kodesh Alechem, then also the bread is not holy. It has to be Lechem at the time of the Shechita, and right now it's not, because until it forms a crust, it's not considered Lechem. So the Gemara says, my chutz lechaima, which wall are we talking about that the bread has to be inside of at the time of the Shechita? Rabbi Yochanan, the chutz lechaima is based pagi. Rabbi Yochanan says it can be, it means when it's outside the wall of based pagi. Base Pagi is an area of outside the outer wall of Yerushalayim. Rashi in some places in Shas explains that Base Pagi literally means like the reins or the bridle of an animal. Namely, you have the animal and then you have reins attached to it. So the same way, Base Pagi means like an area attached to and appended to Yerushalayim. So it would be some people identify it in particular. You go nowadays to Yerushalayim, you'll find more or less the eastern wall of the Har HaBayis is more or less the eastern wall of your Yerushalayim at that point, because then it drops off to Nahal Kidron, but you have a little bit of area over there nowadays. You have a road there and some sightseeing spots and whatever. So there's an idea that might have been based Pagi. With that said, the Rambam has a different explanation, and then regular Rashi over here also has that base pagi means an area outside the wall of the Har HaBayis. So that would imply that it's inside your Shalayim proper, and it's just outside the wall of the Har HaBayis. Okay, in any case, Rabbi Yochanan says that only if the bread is outside of that area is it possible, but if it was inside of that area, even though it's outside the Azara, then it's fine. Resh Lakish on the chutz lechemes ha'azara. Resh Lakish says it means if it's outside the wall of the azara. Why? Resh Lakish on the chutz lechemes ha'azara, because he says v'in an al b'samo. Because since the pasuk says that you have to have al, that you have to have the bread al zevam todas shlamav, the word al says Resh Lakish means right nearby. So they don't have to be touching or anything, but they do have to be in the azara, which is the same area where the korban itself is shechted. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, chutz lechemes based pagi. Rabbi Yochanan says it's only a problem if it's outside the wall, based pagi, of a chutz la'azara kodesh, but if it is outside the azara, even as long as it's within based pagi, then it is kodesh, v'loy in an al b'samach, he doesn't worry about that al means that it has to be right next to you. As long as it's in an area where the bread can be eaten, and a toida is kodesh and kalim, so it can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So therefore, Yerushalayim says, I don't care whether it's in the Azara itself, or whether it's at least nearby. Tosfos points out that we had earlier in the Masechta we talked about the question of whether when they wave the Shtei Alechem together with the Kvasim, whether they have to be on, whether the Lechem has to be on top of the Kvasim or whether they can be next to them, but at least they have to be right one next to the other. Why he was revealing and saying that's fine even if it's someplace else, even if it's someplace within the walls of Beis Pagi. So Tosfos points out because there you have the Shtei Alechem, and then afterwards you're going to be makir with it. You want to do it one after the other. Okay, you're not makir the Shtei Alechem per se, but in other words, the point is that they have a very close connection together. Here it's just a matter of the Shechita and making the bread Kaddish, so therefore all we care is that the bread exists and is in the proper place. It doesn't have to be necessarily next to it. So the Gemara asks, now you're telling me then the machlokas is Rav Yochanan and Resh Lakish are arguing whether the word al means next to, or does it just mean that it has to exist? Well, we already find the same machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Resh Lakish in a different context. It's not. We learn in a Mishnah about Pesach, so very negayah now, a couple of days before Pesach. Hashoicha to the Pesach ala chometz. If a person shechts the korban Pesach when he still owns chometz over the loisese, then he's over on a loisese, because the Torah tells us loisishcha to chometz dam zivchi, don't shech the my korban, meaning the korban Pesach, when you have chometz in your possession. Rabbi Yehuda Oyma Afa Tomid. Now Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah there that it's not only the Korban Pesach but also the Korban Tomid Shalben HaAmbayim of Erev Pesach. Also, you can't have chometz in your possession at the time. Then the person who shechts it would also be over on that. Now Rish Lakish says, when is a person going to be chayev? Only if one of the ones who does either the one who shechts the korban or the one who sprinkles the blood or one of the members of the group who's going to be eating the korban pesach, if he has chametz with him in the azara, because Rish Lakish learned that when it says shechat al chametz dam zivchi means al chametz means there has to be chametz actually present there in the azara where the korban is being brought. Rabbi Yechon amach pishenim in bazara, and Rabbi Yechon says he's over even if the chametz is not with him in the azara. Tosfos, by the way, points out it's only echad b'nei chavura. When Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that you're chayav for the chametz, for having chametz in your possession, obviously we're not going to say that if any Jew, if the chametz is brought on behalf of the Jewish people, you're not going to say if any Jew has chametz in his possession, then the one who shechts the chametz, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be over. They would mean this echad b'nei chavura would be strictly the korban pesach where you have to be pre-registered for it. In any case, the point is that we have the same machlokas for Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Does al mean right nearby, so therefore it has to be in the azara? Rish Lakish is saying in both cases that you need to be. Or does it just mean that it exists and is it a place that's kosher? According to Rabbi Yechon, and also in both places, when it comes to the bread of the chametz and when it comes to chametz when he's shechting in the korban pesach. So why do we need both machlokas? And the answer is tzricha. We need both machlotsin. If we only had the one about chometz on Pesach, you would say, you know why Rabbi Yechon is saying that the chometz doesn't need to be with him in the Azara for him to be over? Because look, you can't own chometz on Pesach anyway. No matter where in the world you own chometz, if you own chometz on Pesach, then you're over on an Issa. And the chometz itself is also to eat and to have hana from. So therefore, so it doesn't matter where the chometz is located right now, you still can't shech the korban pesach. Aval inin mikdash, aval inin mikdash lachem, when it comes to making the lachmei Torah holy, and it matters where they are. After all, everybody agrees if they're outside of base tagli, then it's no good. Ema modulei l'Rish Lakish, so maybe you would agree with Rish Lakish, di'is b'fnim kodesh, that only if it's actually inside the azara, the proper place for shechting korbanos, kodesh, then it's kodesh. Abroi loy kodesh, but if it's outside the azara, it's not kodesh. So therefore, we need Rav Yechonon to tell us that no, even in this case, he holds that it can be outside the azara. And on the other hand, if you only had the machlokas about the lachmei Torah, baha ka'amar Rish Lakish, then you would say Rish Lakish says only there, aval b'chach ein modulei l'Rav Yechonon, but by chometz maybe he'd agree with Rav Yechonon for the same reason it doesn't matter where your chometz is, a person is still over if he owns chometz past the time. Tzricha, so therefore we need both machlokas. Well, the Gemara points out, Tanya kama sevi Rav Yechonon, we do in fact learn a braisa like the way Rav Yechonon. Okay, the way Rabbi Yechonon learns it, Asher Chet is a Torah lefnim, v'lach v'chuf v'chem espes pagi, like Kodesh Alachem, you shech the Torah inside the Azara, and the bread is located outside of the wall of base pagi, then the bread does not become Kodesh, implying as long as it's within base pagi, however we define base pagi, then we're fine, and the bread does in fact become Kodesh. Next, the Mishnah said, Shochtach le koma paner vatanu, that we said that if he shechted the korban before the bread formed a crust in the oven, then also the bread's not holy because it has to be bread, and at that point it's just dough. The word paneha, by the way, there are gusois that don't have the word paneha. In fact, the printed Mishnayos, for example, don't have the word paneha. Shalei komu batanu, meaning that they formed a crust someplace. Paneha would suggest that after the surface of it that's facing outward, that's facing towards the fire, and it's not necessarily like that. Is it what's the key thing? Is it that it formed a crust on the side that's facing the fire, or that it formed a crust on the side that's attached to the wall of the oven? So maybe the word paneha doesn't belong. In any case, the Gemara says, "Menahani midi." Where do we know this? So the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, "Al chalos lechem chometz yakuv korbanei." The person has to bring the Torah together with loaves of chometz bread, al zevach, together with the korban. So malama chain alachem kodesh. So by saying lechem means it has to be bread. Malama chain alachem kodesh. Elim can come upon the abatano. So the bread becomes holy only if it formed a crust in the oven. Before that it can't be called lechem. When the pasuk continues, Yakri korbanai al zevach. When it says he should offer his korban together, he should offer his korban together with the shechted animal. Malama chain alachem kodesh. Alav shechitas hazevach. There you learn that the lechem gets kedusha only with the shechted korban. When it says zevach todas, and when it says zevach todas, we learn another detail that it has to have the name todah, melamachim shoftan shalovishman. From this we learn If he shechts the korban shelo b'shman, loy kodesh alechem, then the bread does not become holy. So that's another detail that we didn't learn in the Mishnah, which is that it has to be all three. It has to be bread at the time. It has to be bread at the time of the shechita, and it becomes holy when you shecht the korban. But it also has to be that you have in mind that this is in fact a korban todah. And if you have in mind a different kind, then you don't have todas shlom, then you don't have al zevach todas, and therefore the bread does not. Then therefore the bread does not become holy. Speaking of this point about but partially baked bread, so yeah, let's talk about that in terms of the dinim of matz. Tanan Rabbanan, yotzim the matzah no, you could be yotzah on Pesach with matzah that is only half baked, or matzah ha'asori be'ilpos, and also matzah that was baked in a pan. So baked in a pan means exactly what it sounds like. In other words, you put dough in a pan. And you bake them, but it was actually in yesterday's and yesterday's Shloshah Parakim of Rambam based on a Gemara in Pesachim that goes into more detail about it. You could even have, for example, the Gemara explains over there that the Lahalacha that you could even, for example, you could put the dough in the pan and only then start heating up the pan. Or you could do the other way around where you preheat the pan and then put the matzah in it. Practically speaking, nobody would make matzah like that nowadays, but in principle, of the Halacha, it could be done. Anyway, so the Gemara says, my matzah no. What do we mean by half raw matzah? So no means over here, like we have by the Korban Pesach. I'll tell you for men who no, don't eat from the Korban Pesach no. Where the Gemara explains, and soften, but the same thing, no, doesn't mean raw, it means rare. It means that it's only partially roasted. So what does it mean in terms of here? If it's baked enough, that when you break it open, strings of dough won't pull out of it. Which Tosfos points out, that seems to be equal to the point when it forms a crust. Once it forms a crust, then you're also not going to have strings of dough pull from it if you break it apart. Amar Rava, v'chein le'in and lach me'toda, and Rava points out the same thing as far as the lach me'toda. Once they reach that point, then they're kosher. So it must be shita. Of course it's the same thing. Because we learn the same thing. Hocha lechem ksiv, v'hocha lechem ksiv. By each one of them, it says lechem. The matzah has to be lechem oini. The bread of the Torah has to be lechem chometz. So of course you have to. So of course it's the same thing that once they've reached a stage of baking where strings of dough won't pull out of it, which Tosfos points out that would also be the point when it forms a crust. Then if you shecht the korban at that point, then it's considered baked, and that you could be yotzah. So why does Rava need to even tell us the point that the same din is true as far as matzah? So the answer is ma'ud tamer, because otherwise you would have thought echad amarachmana shalo yotzah poros, because you would think by the Torah there's a chiddush. After all, we learned before that when it says you have to take one of each type and give it to the kohen, means you can't take a broken one. V'hokaman deprisa damya, here when you have bread that's not completely baked, matzah that's not completely baked, it should be considered as though it's already broken, because if you pick it up, it's gonna fall apart, it's gonna break. So therefore, kamash malan, therefore Rava tells us that no, if taka breaks, you can't give it to the kohen, but as long as it didn't break, then you're fine, and you could do that, and the korban is still kosher, and the bread is still kosher. So Shitim Kovetz points out also that you have another example of this also, that for example the we know there are certain malachas that you're not allowed to start shortly before Shabbos, not because the malacha itself will be done on Shabbos, but because of chumma concern that you might do more of the malacha on Shabbos to make it do better or whatever. So for example, you have dinim as far as putting food into the oven shortly before Shabbos, putting bread into an oven shortly before Shabbos. You have a similar thing. If there's enough time before Shabbos that at least it will form a crust, then you're allowed to do that. Before Shabbos, because the same thing. Once it reaches that point, then already it's considered. Then already it's considered bread. So now we have a discussion on the point. We're saying so far that you have to have 40 loaves of bread with the Torah. So now Torah sheshacht al shmoinim chalas. Suppose that instead you brought 80 chalas, and you're going to shecht the korban Torah with those 80. So we had this earlier in the Masechta as well. We talked about in a similar vein with the Shtei Lechem. We talked about what if instead of two lechem, what if you have four lechem? What if instead of two kvasim, you have four kvasim? So here, the same way, you could have, for example, now you could have, let's say the person had 40 loaves for Achrayus, which we're going to talk about now. You could have that he had 40 loaves for the main korban, and then he has 40 loaves for Achrayus as backup in case the original ones become possible. So now he has all 80 over there, and he shecht the Torah with the 80 over there. Chizki, I'm a Kodeshwabayim, a Tekshmoinim. So Chizki says 40 out of the 80 will be Kodesh. Now, we don't know, practically speaking, Rashi Ksaviad points out, we're not going to know which ones are going to be the 40, so we're going to have to treat them all with the dinim of the, we're going to have to treat them all with the dinim of Toda and eat them all on that day and the following night. But nevertheless, we can still say the Toda is valid and we ignore the fact that there are extra loaves in here. And Rabbi Yechon says, no, 40 out of the 80 do not become holy, meaning in other words, in effect, it's as if you have no challah at all, and therefore you don't have a good, you don't have a good Toda. So the Gemara explains, when the owner said that I want only 40 out of the 80 to be Kaddish, then both Rabbi Chizki and Rabbi Yechon will agree Kaddish. Then for sure 40 will become Kaddish, because then what he means is basically the fact that he only brought the other 40 for Achrayos. He just wanted that as backup in case before the Shechita some of them become possible, then he can use the other ones, then he can use the other ones as backup. So that would work. Now Tosfos points out Rabbi Yochanan himself does not hold a breira. So how can we say then breira is we're going to say that retroactively we're going to say these were the 40 that he meant all along? But how would that be over here? So Tosfos explains because we're talking about where you tack a need to clarify in the end which one it was. Here the fact is whichever 40 out of the 80 are there, whichever 40 are meant to be, they will become Kaddish. Now Tosfos also points out therefore when he gives to the Kohen from each one. Of necessity, he's going to have to give 11 of each type because what's going to happen? So now you have, let's take the chometz ones for example. Instead of 10, we're saying he has 20 chometz ones. Now the problem is only 10 of them are kaddish, and we don't know which ones. So if he just gives one, what if that one is not one of the ones that's Kaddish? If he gives two, what if neither of them is from the ones that's Kaddish, etc.? So the only alternative is going to be, Tosfos says, he's going to have to give 11 of them to the Kohen. That way, for sure, no matter what, at least one of the ones that he gave to the Kohen is one of the 10 Chometz ones that's Kaddish. And the same thing with each of the other types. But in any case, so that will work. And therefore only 40 of them, become Kaddish. The Rambam, on the other hand, has a whole different understanding of it. The Rambam holds that what you can do is, at that point, you can actually, you don't need to go through all of that. You could tack out of the mix of 80, take out 10 of each type, designate that these will be the ones for the Toda, and then afterwards, then the other ones never got Kedushas HaGuf, and therefore you can be poured to them, and they become holy. So in other words, here the Tosfos had brought up the problem of Breira, and the fact is Breira doesn't work in Daraisa. So the Or Sameach explains there because here, as Tosfos had said, the Kedusha could come on it, even when it's all mixed up. So afterwards, then you're just able to pick out ones, and then say these are the ones that became Kodesh. Unlike, for example, Meiser, where you do actually have to designate Meiser. So in that case, that will work, where he specifically said, I want only 40 of the 80 to be Kaddish. What about, on the other hand, if he said the opposite? If he says, no, I don't want even 40 to become Kaddish, unless 80 can become Kaddish, well, 80 can't become Kaddish, because one Toda, so then Loi Kaddishu, then for sure it doesn't become Kaddish, and both Chizki and Rabbi Yechon will agree with that. Keep pleading. The whole machlokas of Chizki and Rabbi Yechon is the sum of where he didn't say one way or the other. So Maris Kavah L'Achrayis K'machavim. So therefore, Sir Chizkiah is going to hold. He just means L'Achrayis. So he just wants, in other words, even though he didn't specify, we can assume that he meant that 40 of them are for the actual korban and the other 40 are for Achrayis. Well, Maris Kavah L'Korban Gavah K'machavim, whereas Rabbi Yechon holds, the guy thinks, I want to bring an extra big korban. He doesn't know the din that 40 is the exact amount, no more, no less. He thinks, you know what, everybody else brings 40, I want to go with them one better and I want to bring 80. Well, therefore, sir, that doesn't work. So that's how Rav Zeira understands the machlokas. Abaya gives a different explanation of the Abaya gives a different explanation of the machlokas. Dekula amalach rais to machaben. They both agree that when he brings 80, he doesn't have in mind machrayos. Or the chlei shoras mekadshin. Let me ask. The machlokas is whether chlei shoras are able to be mekadish without the proper das. Different stories over here that bring that shit to Mukhavetz's brings that we take out the whole there, and Rashi Tzaviyad also has that we take out the whole part about Achrayus from Achavim. The question is just whether Klei Shortus Makadish and Shlomi Das, when you have something from Klei Shortus and there's not the proper Das to be Makadish, does it in fact become holy? Namely, in other words, here we're saying that what makes the chalas holy, as we said in the Mishnah, is when you shecht the korban that goes with them. Now the korban is shechted with a knife, which means therefore they have it's a keli that makes everything kaddish. So we actually had the discussion at the beginning in Zvachim at the beginning of Perek Ezo Mekoyim, and Tosfos had brought up the point: does a knife for shechting kaddishim in fact have to be a kli shoris? This is our Gemara would be one of the proofs that it is. So according to then we had the opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim there that said that no, it doesn't have to be a kli shoris. So according to him, it would be the actual act of shkita that makes the kiddush, not so much even though the Gemara is using the word keli over here, doesn't mean that it needs to be a kli shoris. It just means that the action of the shkita. In any case, so another way of looking at it, Abaye says the question would be whether kli shoris are able to be mekadesh without the das of the owner. Commissively, that would be the machlokes. Ma'osava klei sharis mekadesh and shlemi das. Chizki hold that klei sharis can be mekadesh something even without the das of the owner. So even if the owner intended, says Abaya. So Rav Zeira had said if the owner Taka intended that all 80 should be kaddish, it wouldn't work. Now comes Abaya and says no. Even if the owner had in mind that all 80 should become kaddish, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter, we ignore him, it's Mekadosh even without his das. So 40 of them become Kaddish. The moment he shechts the Korban, the other 40 don't, and we don't care about the fact that he thought that he wants to be Mekadosh all 80. Well, Ma'o Sava, whereas Abaye explains, Rabbi Yechon will hold, Klei Shoris ain't Mekadosh and Shlomi Das, Klei Shoris will not be Mekadosh without the das of the owner, and since the owner's das was that he wants to bring 80, then Rabbi Yechon is going to say, well, you can't be Mekadosh 80, and therefore it comes out he's not Mekadosh anything else. A third explanation, everybody would agree that klei shoris, when you put something inside the klei shoris, that it's mekadosh even without the das of the owner, and therefore all of it becomes kaddish, and not just the 40. The hocha besakin kamif. My focus over here is strictly as far as the knife. Where, after all, the knife is not a klei shoris that contains anything within it. And the 40 loaves of bread don't even touch the meat. So now the point, it's only that the knife, shecht in the korban, is mekadesh the lechem. So now, So you will hold that the knife also has, is exactly like other klei shoris, and it's mekadesh even without das by them. So therefore, again, the owner intended 80, but Chizkiya says we're going to ignore his das, the knife is going to be like any other klei shoris, and therefore it's mekadesh only what needs to be done, and no more than that. Well, Ma'asavar, where's Rav Yechonon would hold, given the less late toich and mekadesh as klei shoris. Since the knife does not have an inside, you can't see the chalas, we're not inside the knife. So therefore, so it's not mekadesh, like a klei shoris, it's only mekadesh strictly based on the owner's das, and the owner's das is that he wants all 80, and you can't have all 80, and therefore you end up with nothing. The ikadam, then we have another version of the papa's explanation. Another version is Rapapa, Kulama Kli Shardis and the Kanchen Elami Das. You could even say that, again, that when the Kli Shardis has it inside and the korban is placed inside the Kli Shardis, then it's Makadish only Midas. And therefore, if we went that way, then we could say that only 40 of them become Kaddish, and that's that. But the Hacha is second commitly. But again, the Machlokas is over here specifically as far as the knife. So basically the same as the previous answer of Rapapa, but phrasing it differently. Previously, we had phrased it that Chizkiya holds, it's Makadish just like any other Kli Shoris, and Rabbi Yechonon says no because there's not an inside. So now, Ma'o Sava Sakin Alimam from the Kli Shoris. Chizkiya holds that a knife is even stronger than most Kli Shoris. The Afrikab the less Kli Toish Makadisha. We see most Kli Shoris have to have an inside. You usually have a Kli Shoris is a bowl or something like that you put the Kodshim into and it becomes holy. And here you have the knife is a flat thing and yet it's Makadish. Therefore, says Chizkiya, it has an even stronger power than regular Kli Shardis. So even if you say regular Klei Shardis, Ein Mekadosh and Elami Das, they're going to be Mekadosh, whatever the owner had in mind, by a knife is different, and therefore it's going to be Mekadosh only 40 of them. So, Omar Sava, Sakin, Lay Alimelech, the Klei Shardis, whereas Rabbi Yechonon holds, the knife is not any stronger than other Klei Shardis, and if we hold, according to this opinion, that Klei Shardis, Mekadosh and Shlemi Das, that a Klei Shardis can be Mekadosh, even what the, or just based on the owner's, just based, It goes based on the owner's intention. And if he has in mind to have 80 over there, it would be possible. So the Yechon and holds, a knife is exactly the same as any other Kli Tzaddis in that regard, and therefore the same din would apply that you can only have four, that's 40 or nothing, and therefore that if he has in mind 80, then it ends up being nothing, and the korban is possible, and you have to start all over. But when we have Machlokes Chizki and Rav Yechonon, the halacha is generally like Rav Yechonon, and so it is over here. So the halacha is, in fact, that the Rambam paskens like Reb Zeira's explanation, that it depends whether he had in mind that 40 out of 80, or whether and therefore we say, is it achrayus, and the question is only bestand, did he mean achrayus, or did he mean korban gadol? So the Rambam paskens based on that, and said, because all the other ones depend on Klei Shartus, Makadosh, and Midas, and Shalem Midas, and that's a whole different matter, and therefore the final halacha of the Rambam paskens, it is, if he has in mind specifically that there should be 40 out of 80, then we're, and the other 40 are achrayus, then we're good, he just takes 40 out of them, and those are the ones for the korban, and that's that. But if he just, but he doesn't have that in mind, then in fact it will be possible, because he has 80 over there when he's supposed to have only.
Short.